health industry groups are expected to deliver specific plans to the White House today.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
To take over the healthcare system, either directly or indirectly, for the government to control it.
A lot of my friends, where they get their healthcare from is the emergency room. They're in the emergency room every week. They break a nail in the emergency room.
How are you going to avoid not having the ability to cost shift as you shrink that portion of privately funded health insurance?
Thinking about healthcare. Congress is, the Obama administration is, and all of us are. Here on The Takeaway, you're calling us with your suggestions for perfect coverage. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Joining us this morning is Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, who is an associate professor of medicine at Harvard, co-director of the Harvard Medical School General Internal Medicine Fellowship Program, and co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's great to be speaking to you on the day that Barack Obama is in Chicago to pitch his own reform agenda to the American Medical Association. But before we talk about what doctors' interests are in healthcare reform, or maybe not reforming healthcare at all, let's talk first of all about the curious and fragile relationship between people's healthcare and their economic and financial health, and how that bears directly on how the economy and healthcare go hand in hand.
We found that 62% of all personal bankruptcies are due to medical illness and medical bills. So many middle-class people who purchase private health insurance in good faith do find that when they get sick, the health insurance fails them. 78% of all families in medical bankruptcy had health insurance at the onset of the illness that bankrupted them, usually private insurance. I mean, we actually view private insurance as a defective product.
Now, this is a really interesting point, and everyone should really pay attention here, because even though statistics show that most people who have health coverage are happy with their coverage, or a majority, in fact, but what you're saying is that in actual practice, these coverages, these products tend to fail, and people are driven into bankruptcy and financial ruin.
Absolutely. When you have it on a piece of paper, and that's your relationship to your insurance plan, or maybe you had your pap smear or something, the insurance looks pretty good. But if you get a prolonged and expensive illness, you're really in trouble, and you may find yourself among the hundreds of thousands of U.S. families annually who are driven into bankruptcy. The problem with private insurance is, for many people, it's connected with their job, and they get too sick and they can't work. They lose their insurance. For other people in our study of medical bankruptcy, they hung on to private insurance throughout the illness that bankrupted them, but they were bankrupted anyway by gaps in coverage like co-payments, deductibles, and loopholes that let their insurance get out of paying for care.
Well, our mission here on The Takeaway, as we get into the real rough-and-tumble health care debate on Capitol Hill, is to give people different ways of thinking about the system that maybe they haven't heard of before. And this is a really important point. Now, President Obama is in Chicago to pitch his health care reform agenda to the American Medical Association, as I mentioned. Does the Obama plan address this issue of financial fragility?
Absolutely not. The Obama plan does nothing for people who already have health insurance. He may cover some of those who are uninsured, but at a tremendous cost, at a cost that's really not sustainable. If you leave the private health insurance industry in place and in charge of things the way this reform will, you're going to continue to have huge administrative waste. We've estimated in articles that we published in New England Journal of Medicine that 31%, nearly a third of all U.S. health spending goes to the paperwork costs associated with billing all these multiple insurers. Canada has overhead costs that are half of that on a per capita basis. If our health insurance system were as efficient administratively as that in Canada, we could save about $400 billion annually just on paperwork and use that money to cover the uninsured and to improve the coverage of people who now have this defective private insurance, and that would not raise health care costs. That that's a sustainable plan. But what Obama is talking about is simply not affordable, not sustainable, and for that reason will not get us to real universal coverage.
Dr. Wohlhandler, let's talk for a minute about the constituency of doctors. Obama is going to talk to the AMA, but that's just one constituency. I don't want you to get to speak for all physicians here. Maybe it's unfair to make you do that. But with your insight as an academic and as a doctor, are there different constituencies in the medical profession and with different agendas for reform?
Absolutely. I mean, three-quarters of all U.S. physicians do not belong to the AMA. Three-quarters do not belong. Many of them belong to organizations such as American College of Physicians, which is the second largest physicians organization, which supports universal health care and has said that single payer would be one of the options to seriously consider. 15,000 U.S. physicians belong to my organization, Physicians for a National Health Program, and we're a single-issue organization. All we do is advocate for nonprofit national health insurance for the United States, also known as single payer and also known as Medicare for All.
Very quickly before we go, if a doctor stands up and makes a lot of noise against a single payer national health care program, is that doctor more likely to be a specialist or more likely to be a primary care physician?
Well, that doctor's more likely to be very business-oriented. The AMA has led a group of American physicians who are very business-oriented and are protecting the economic interests of doctors, which is fair. Labor unions do that for other people. It's fair in a way. But what our organization has said is that doctors actually need to speak for their patients. And this is not just about protecting doctors. This is about protecting the health of the American people. We tend to be a little stronger in primary care. Our point of view supporting national health insurance is stronger among primary care doctors, stronger among psychiatrists. But a recent poll by the University of Indiana found that a majority of all U.S. physicians support nonprofit national health insurance. So the AMA is actually not speaking for the majority at this point.
Well, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what tone President Obama takes when he speaks with the AMA in Chicago later today. Dr. Steffi Wohlhandler, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Wohlhandler is Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard, co-director of the Harvard Medical School General Internal Medicine Fellowship Program, and a co-founder of the organization she was just referring to there, Physicians for a National Health Program. So we're asking you, if you were designing the perfect health care plan for yourself, what should be covered?
Hi, my name is Pam, calling from New Jersey. It's time dental care was covered with regular medical insurance. The prices are through the roof, and even with routine, diligent maintenance, procedures can run thousands of dollars.
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces!
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces!
Dental plan!
Tell us
Lisa
what needs coverage braces. In your life dental at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. If you missed anything on the program, we're always on here at The Takeaway. Our coverage of the Iranian elections you can find on our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. I'm John Huckenberry, and you're listening to The Takeaway.